Go ahead and turn to Exodus 20. We're going to get into commandment number 4 tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 21. I'll read, you follow along. And then God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is here. God has come to prove you, and that this fear, or his fear, may be before you, your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Well, here we are. We've been going through these commandments. And remember that these first several commandments are the these first four were the ones that deal with our relationship with God. Okay? And so far we've talked about that we are to have no other gods before Jehovah God. We are to not make any images of God or to bow down to any graven images or idols. The third commandment talks about declaring that God's name is not to be used carelessly, crudely, or vainly. We are to respect, we are to fear, we are to uphold God and his name. It's important. And we need to make sure that we deal with those things correctly. Now, if we deal with those things correctly, we will have the kind of relationship with God that he wants us to have. And that brings us to this fourth one. For instance, if we talk about God in the first commandment, not having any other gods before our God, that's a good thing, right? That means we put him in front of everything else in our lives, and that's where God needs to be. Secondly, if we do not make any kind of graven image, or any kind of, or bow down to any other image, then God, again, is in the place that he deserves to be in our personal lives. And then we talk about caring about the name of God, using the name of God correctly, or reverencing the name of God as we should. Again, we're paying reverence and fear and honor to our God in our individual lives. Now we talk about this fourth one. The Sabbath day. And this is reminding us to set aside a day to worship God. This Sabbath day is supposed to be a whole day. A day that we focus on God. God deserves to be focused on. God deserves some time. And I don't know. Maybe next week. I don't know. I'm still working on it. I remember as a young man. I think I was. I had just turned 20 years old. I turned 19 years old in boot camp. So the next year, I had just arrived at NAS, that's Naval Air Station, Sigonella, Sicily. Okay? Right in the heart of the Mediterranean. I was on base there. There were two parts of the base. We called it NAS 1 and NAS 2. Number 1 was where all the sailors lived and all the barracks were. And 2 was the airfield and the workplaces and all those things. So we had to all divide it up there. But I got there and got, you know, involved. I wasn't yet an independent Baptist. I grew up in church, was a Christian. I went to church, etc., on base and whatnot. And I got involved, and a couple of guys invited me to their church. There was a man who was a retired senior chief. He had a little church out in town. He was a missionary to the military. And a couple of my buddies at work that I had just met invited me to come. I went. And that fall, I finally understood, it was 1997, what a real church was. It's a church a lot like this one. And I got involved in church and these things. And you understand that I completely forgot where I was going with that. I hate it when that happens. Hold on, let me look back at this paper. Something reminded me of that. I don't even know anymore. Why did I tell you that story? Oh well. It sounded like a good story. Not sure why. I was what? Oh yeah, thank you. God bless you. Yes. So I got to church and I joined this little church. It just was refreshing. Shortly after that, I got baptized, which is a cool story in itself. I got baptized in the Mediterranean Sea. What a cool baptistry, huh? And even cooler than that, the water, it was kind of choppy. There was a storm that had passed through that night before. So there were about 15-foot swells. So we really didn't even have to go under the water like this. It just kind of came over us at the same time, you know. But it was cool and it was great. The kind of spooky thing is that 3 fishermen had died by drowning about a mile down the shore from where we were getting baptized. So that was kind of, you didn't want something grabbing your foot as you went underneath the water, you know. Yeah, that'd have been a little spooky, right? That was a very, very neat experience. But as I continued to go to that church, I joined the church and began to help out and serve, and God began to deal with my heart. The pastor preached a message about our time and our lives. And of course he was, I've mentioned this before, maybe in stewardship, but God doesn't just want your money. You know, the tithe is the Lord's. We ought to bring the tithes in the storehouse. But it's not just finances. It's the rest of us too. So he went through a great illustration. He brought up a chart and he had these things and he talked about our time. And you know, we're given a certain amount of hours each day, each week, each month, each year. How much of it do we give to God? I mean, really, he had it all detailed. He had it mapped out, you know, how much we sleep, how much we work, how much we do this, you know, all these different things. And then how much time do we give to God? Okay, now I know that 1 day out of 7 is 1/7. I'm a mathematician. I'm a math teacher. I understand that, okay? And I know that 1/7 is a greater value than 10%. Okay, I do know that, okay? Because 1/10 is 10% and 1/7 is the smaller the fraction, the greater. Okay, y'all, are you going to, no, don't stone me, okay? Samantha, I know you gave the kids stones, or was it Mrs. Burkett? Okay, don't throw them at me, kids, okay? Because I'm teaching math in summertime. I know that's illegal in most states, but now, okay? But isn't God worth a greater value than 10%? So isn't it okay that we give the Lord a day? That's what this means to me as far as the Sabbath day. This is something that we ought to give to God. It's a day that we ought to give to Him. And this is what this commandment is for. Okay? A lot of people focus on the particular day, the Sabbath day. Okay? And that is something we'll talk about. But can I tell you something? Greater than a specific day is that we allot this time for Him. That's why I say to you often that coming to church is not about me. It's not for me. Because guess what? Let me just throw this at you. If coming to church was for you, then is it the Lord's day? Or is it your day? Do you see that? What that is? He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was supposed to be set apart for God. And now the Pharisees took it too far. They started adding things that you couldn't do. And Jesus debated that. Remember, we don't have time to go through all that. But Jesus debated with them that they had really ramped up the perfection of the law. And they fussed at the apostles for picking corn. And Jesus went off them about the ox in a ditch and all these things. You understand that's not necessarily what it's talking about. But Jesus was telling them, hey, you are all about the facade. You're all about the outward appearance. And you've lost touch with what this day is all about. It's about God. And it's about setting something apart for the Lord. And so that's where we need to get back in touch with this commandment. So if you'll look there in the text, and we see here that we begin with commandment number 4. And look at what it says about the Sabbath day. Okay? So he says in verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Okay? So we're talking about the Sabbath day. We're talking about the seventh day. We're supposed to be doing our labor, our work, in 6 days. Okay? Now, me personally, I'd rather do it in 5 days. Okay? That's okay with me, right? How many of you would rather do it in 4 days? Right? We're just work 4 12s and get it out of the way, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Now, but he does say, work the 6 days. Do all your work in the 6 days. Because the seventh day is for me. I want 1/7 of the days that I give to you. So God wants what he's asking for. So he says this to his people. He says that these days, he says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, so we have this idea that God says, I've set an example. I created the whole world and universe and all the things that are in it in 6 days. You're telling me you can't do your job in 6 days? Your piddly, meaningless little earthly job? You can't handle that in 6 days? In 6 days, I created all this stuff, man. I mean, get a grip, okay? That's in the old Hebrew, okay? Now, God said, this is the expectation. And again, God lives up to his expectations, right? He doesn't expect us to do anything that he hasn't done. So he says, hey, I've done this. You can do it too. 6 days is what you're supposed to labor. He says, you're not supposed to labor. Your kids are not supposed to labor. None of these things are supposed to, all your work is to be done, and you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy. Okay? It's supposed to be for me. You say, now, Pastor, you know, my wife or my husband or somebody, we cook food on the Sabbath day, on church days, on the Lord's day. And we're going to get to all that. We're going to sort all that out in just a moment. But so should we just leave the dishes in the sink till Monday? Or should we cook Saturday night? And that way we don't have to, this morning, my
my gem of a wife over here. She got up and she got a few of the kids to help her. Made my gravy recipe, gentlemen. I got biscuits and gravy, homemade biscuits and gravy for breakfast. That was fantastic, and a lot of enjoyment there. But you know what? He said, "Oh, breaking the rules, working on the Sabbath day." Now, is that what the Lord wants? Is that what He's talking about? No, the work that He's talking about there is our livelihood. Okay? What we make a living by. And God, just like when God told the people to gather manna, right? They were supposed to get what they needed. So you know what we tend to do? We tend to do things in excess. Because that's what we are as human beings. And if some of us, if my dad was a workaholic, he kind of still is a little bit, even though he's retired. But I'm telling you, my dad would have worked every day. Some of you are built that way. You just work all the time. And if you're not working at your career, you're working at home. Now, there's things that we can understand as, yes, you could call it work, if you will, but it's not our livelihood. Okay? And these are the things that God is talking about. So you know what? You say, should I work on Sundays? Well, I don't think you should. Right? Now, we're going to talk about the spirit of the law and what it's all about. But God says there needs to be a time for me. There needs to be a time that should be hallowed for me. And we need to make sure that God gets His time. Because let me tell you something. Is God going to get His time? Yes, He is in one way, shape, or form or the other, right? Think about this. As we talk about the tithe, let's say, let's just talk about that for a moment. Did you know that if you rob God of the tithes, He's going to get it from you somehow? You ever wonder, this is just a thought, and it's not necessarily why, but you ever wonder why some people have more medical bills or more bills than other people have? Now, sometimes it's their choices, granted. But how about this? Maybe they choose not to tithe, and yet their bills just keep stacking up. Or they're getting sick more often or such. It's just a thought. Just a thought. You know what's better off to do? Just give the Lord His tithe. First, the way we should, and then let God take care of our families. Because you know what we say? We say, well, I can't afford to pay my tithe because I've got this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill. But instead, God wants us to do what? Bring in the first fruits and give Him that's His and let Him take care of us with the rest. It's all about how you think about it. Okay, and you understand what I'm saying? Again, it's not a blanket statement that, you know, people with high bills don't tithe. That's not true. Okay, I'm just trying to get you to think. Okay, I'm just trying to oil the old gears and just try to get you to think about this. So think about our time. You say, I never have time for anything. Okay. Maybe you're not giving God the time He deserves. That's why you don't have any time. Just think about it. It's not, I'm not talking about that this is, you know, dogma and doctrine and law. That, no. It's just something to think about. God put this in the commandments for a purpose. He said, people, listen. You are my people called by my name. I have chosen you. And you are going to do your work in 6 days. And you're going to give me one of them. You're going to give me the seventh day. You're going to make it holy. You're going to keep it holy. You're going to not let your son and your daughter and your manservant or your maidservant, not even your cows, not even the beasts of burden, not even the stranger that is within your gates. Nobody. We're all going to honor the Lord's day. We're all going to honor the Sabbath day. We're going to keep it holy, and we're going to do this because I said so. Remember what I told about God this morning? It's His way, folks. This is what He says, and that's what matters. Now, the word Sabbath means to cease from labor, okay, or an intermission from labor. That's what the word Sabbath means. Sabbath does not mean Saturday, okay? Saturday does not mean seventh day, okay? Saturday means a rest from Sabbath. Sabbath means a rest, an intermission from labor, okay? To cease from labor. In the regular Old Testament, as established by God here in Exodus 20, the seventh day of the week was Saturday, okay? Now, hello, Jewish calendar. Okay, to the rest of the world, it wasn't that way. For God's people, this was the day, the seventh day. Okay? And so we know that this meant that this was the day of the week, this Saturday. In other words, this day above the other six were blessed and made holy by God. The Sabbath day became then a day of rest and a day of worship of God. Okay, so think about this. If you're working during the day, how focused are you going to be on worshiping God? Okay? A very small amount. All right? If you have a day of rest, how focused can you be on worshiping God? Okay? Exponentially more. Now, notice I said, can you be? Okay? And that's going to be a key here in just a moment. Now, as we look at this, God said, I want you to stop and I want you to worship me. I want you to cease. I want you to have an intermission from labor to focus on me. This is the reason, this is the purpose of the Sabbath day. Now let's consider this commandment as we see what it means for us in the New Testament church age. You say, Pastor, what is the difference between the time in Exodus that God gave these commandments and our time today? A lot. There's a lot of difference. In one point, God is dealing with his chosen people, a nation. And now, since Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, he's dealing with an entity, the local church. Okay? No longer a nation, right? Are we a nation of people? No. We have a different nationality. It's the kingdom of God, right? But we're local churches all over the place. So, again, it's something a little bit different. So let's look at this really, really fast because we only have 10 minutes left. Think about these things, okay? So I think I've set the table. Have I set the table okay for everybody? You understand what we're talking about. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty details here. Now, the Old Testament Sabbath was given as a sign between God and man. Over in Exodus chapter 31, in verses 12 through 18, the Bible tells us this. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Now, this is very important. Okay, anybody in here Israelite? Okay, I don't think so. Okay, you say, but Pastor, we've been grafted in. Yes, we've been grafted in. I understand that has to do with Jesus. Doesn't have to do with us becoming Israelites. Okay, he says this is for your generations. So who is this for? The Jews. Okay, this is for the Jews. He says, your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Let me ask you a question. Do they still do that in Israel today? They don't. Should we do that? Should I start executing people that don't come to church? Yes. Who said yes? No, I think in some way, shape, or form, all of us would be guilty of that, I'm sure, at some point in time. But this was a serious thing between God and his people at that time. So he says this is what it is, and this is how it's to be dealt with. He says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. So this was a covenant between God and Israel. Was this a covenant between God and the Gentiles? No, between God and anybody else? No, God and His people. Okay, but remember, we're looking into why these things are pertinent to us. Non-Jews, Christians, if you will, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go on to see here, he says later on, you're not looking at it, I am. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing upon him with Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Okay? So this was a sign, this was a covenant between God and his people. So it is a sign that God, who made us, knew that man needs a day of rest. Now remember, I've told you before that if we were to follow these Jewish customs, that's not a bad thing. Many of these things, these customs are probably a good thing. The dietary customs, etc., etc., the cleanliness customs. All, God's not going to give his people something that's bad for them. Now listen, what is the number one killer in America? Somebody, who says it? Heart disease, which is mostly caused by stress. Okay? Stress is that silent killer. How many of you have been told that before? Okay? Yeah. I mean, yes, high cholesterol is another reason why. Too many donuts, okay? And that's okay. Might as well die happy. Stress doesn't make me happy. Stress doesn't make you happy. So don't die that way, okay? Go for the donuts for heart disease, not the stress part of the heart disease, okay? Whichever. I sometimes give bad advice, folks. Don't worry about it. I'm talking about the online people. Why? Because we're too busy, folks. Sometimes we're too busy, even for God. Okay? God knows us. He knows our frame. He knows our form. He knows that we need to be told, stop. Don't rest. Quit. Don't extend this out. Anybody that's in agriculture will tell you that the farming restrictions that God gave are good for the land. There were years of jubilee and rotation of crops and times where you were supposed to farm this land for this amount of time. You're supposed to let it rest for this amount of time. Hey, God's a pretty smart guy. He knows what he's doing. Hey, can I tell you something? I know that I was told in Bible college sleep is overrated. Okay? But can I tell you, it's not. My Bible college professors were wrong. You know what's necessary? It's necessary. Sometimes do we overextend ourselves? Yes. What happens a lot of times to our bodies when we overextend ourselves? We get sick. Right? Disease can creep in. We get irate. You know, we get a little irritable. Are you understanding? God says there's a reason for this. Okay? So, God knew us and knows us and knows that it's a day of rest. And guess what? You say, but Pastor, church is just so taxing. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Many hands make light work, folks. One of the things that I've tried to do as a pastor is I've tried to realize and understand that y'all are people. And coming to church on Sunday is supposed to be a day of worship. See, but I got a Sunday school class to prepare for, and this, then, yeah, okay, prepare on Saturday and enjoy teaching on Sunday. Hey, let me just let you know a little secret. I don't consider this work. What I'm doing right now, I don't consider this work. And the guys, you know, I've told you this, and I mean it. I don't work on Sundays. So you're the pastor, you're leading the church. I'm worshiping God right now. I am. This is all about God. It's not about me. I'm not working. The sermon's already written. You know when I wrote it? This morning. No, just kidding. I wrote it this week. During the 6 days of work that I'm supposed to get my work done in. You know when I do things for the church? Go buy stuff, get stuff here. Unless I forget something, but then that's my fault. That's not God's fault. But you know what? I don't consider this work. A Sunday school teacher ought to be able to come in on Sunday and be able to teach their class and do those things with the kids. They ought to be having a ball doing it. They ought to be enjoying their time, spending time with those kids and helping those kids worship God and the teachers worshiping God. And it's just a fun. It's just fun. It's not work. Certainly not your vocation because I'm not paying you. And you know what? I'm not getting paid for this. The preaching part. I'm getting paid for the preparation and what I put into it. That's my work. But this part's about worshiping God. That's the mindset we need to have. That's what we need to come to in our minds. Hey, this is church. I'm here to worship God. Hey, do you think the Levites and the priests considered that work? They were worshiping. I mean, they're slashing animals' throats and letting the blood spill out here and offering this as a sacrifice. No, that's not work. They're serving God. They're worshiping God. So we're supposed to understand the difference between these things. The Sabbath was to be kept as a sign between God and man, declared every week. They would recognize God as their God, the supreme authority over their life. How many times do we need a reminder of who's in charge of our life? Often. Because you know what? We get going through our work, right? We're put in motion. We're getting things done. You know, taking numbers. We're just going through and boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden we think we're in control. Because that paycheck's coming in. The bills are getting paid. I'm the hero. I'm working, you know. And wait a minute. The day of rest coming up. This is God's day. Well, that's right. God's in charge of my life. We need that reset time. That time to say, oh, you know what? God is in control of my life. God was so serious about this day of rest and worship that anyone who willfully violated it was cut off from their people and put to death. Big deal. Does God say it's a big deal? Yes, he does. Now, because the Sabbath came every week on the seventh day of the week, God reveals to us that he wants us to be consistent in our worship of him. Let me ask you a question. What entity has God established for this day and age and this time? A nation? Or the local church? Local church. You know what we need to be? Consistent. Oh, let's just have church whenever we feel like it. No, we're going to do things decently and in order. Okay, that's just how it's going to be. God wants us to be in order. He wants us to be things to be done decently. In the Old Testament, the children of God were consistent because the Sabbath day was meant to be kept holy. And that's the day they worshiped God. Remember, the Old Testament is a picture and a type of the New Testament truth laid out for us in the church age. And this is the church age. You say, who started it? Jesus. Okay? It began with him. That's why we call, you know what? We don't call this today. This is Sunday. We don't call this the Sabbath day. Never have. Aren't going to. What do we call it? Oh, and who's the Lord? Yeah. Jesus Christ. You understand that this is the day that we have set aside to worship our God. And guess what? It comes around every week. You know that's funny that Sunday comes around the same time every week? It is. And guess where we're supposed to be every week on Sunday? Yeah. And no, I'm not going to come hunt you down and kill you because you didn't come to church. Amen. Now, though the Ten Commandments have never been done away with or repealed by God, the New Testament Christian has worshipped the Lord on Sundays since shortly after the resurrection. Okay? You say, why did this change? We're going to get into that in just a moment. But think about this. If you wanted to later on, you could, because we don't have time, because I just used all my time telling stories. But if you want to go to Acts chapter 2, look at what they did. How did they meet at the first church there in Jerusalem? After people were getting saved and baptized, and they met what? Daily. Let's have church every day. So is that how we're supposed to do it? Not necessarily. Is there anything wrong with that? No. So Sunday has become the Christian Sabbath, if you will, to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is known today as the Lord's Day. In Matthew 28, we have the term given, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Okay? So the Bible says in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Okay? So, this is when Jesus rose from the dead. All right? Anybody think that that's a good idea to celebrate that? Absolutely. Well, guess what? The church thought so too. Okay? So we have Matthew 28, and then we have Mark 16. We also have Luke in 22, I believe. John chapter 20, all talking about when the Sabbath was passed, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Okay, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, etc., la-di-da. All of this, first day of the week. Now, according to the Jewish calendar, we're talking about Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Okay, so somewhere between 6 p.m. Saturday night and 6 a.m. Saturday morning, you have the evening of the first day of the week. You say that's backwards. Yes, it is from our calendar. Okay? And then now we have, right now, well, it's past six. So now actually we're in the second day of the week. Okay? The evening of the second. According to the Jewish calendar. But guess what we don't go by? The Jewish calendar. Why? Because we as Gentiles. All right? And so there's a big difference there. But you notice as the church began to grow, as the church began to develop, over in Acts chapter 20, if you want to jot some of these down, you sure can. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, listen to this. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Interesting. So the disciples now are meeting on the first day of the week. Paul gets up and preaches unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights at the upper chamber. Oh, Mr. Eutychus falling down, if you will. This is this story. But the part that everybody misses is that they gathered together on the first day of the week. It wasn't the Sabbath. Okay? This is what we're shown in Scripture. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writes this in verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now listen to this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, then they shall go with me. So we see here, what are they doing on the first day of the week? Gathering the tithes and offerings. Where do we do that? In church. Over in Revelation chapter 1, listen to this. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Sounds like John was taking a day of rest. On the Lord's day. And when did he see this great revelation that he wrote about? On Sunday. Not on the Sabbath day. Do you understand what we're laying a picture out here for? So these are the things that we've come to know. The early New Testament churches met on Sundays. What more of an example do you want as you see the churches that are listed in the book of Revelation, the churches that Paul started, the churches around the world, from the time that Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, the example that we have in church historical accounts is that they met on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Anybody want to know what, want to ask the question like I do? Why'd they do that? There must have been a reason. Okay? There must have been a reason. So there's a reason, and so we're going to continue to do that. Now, check this one out. This one's kind of fun. The early New Testament church met also on Wednesdays for a service. So we're celebrating Sunday as the New Testament church, right? Remember, we changed from a country to now an entity, the church. Why did they meet on Sundays? To remember and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Guess what else they met? Wednesday nights. Why did they meet on Wednesday nights? The crucifixion. Every week they're remembering the crucifixion and resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection, and the crucifixion and resurrection and crucifixion. Hey, that's kind of neat. That explains a lot, doesn't it? You just thought we met on Wednesday nights because some guy said, let's meet on Wednesday nights. So, here's what we have to understand. These things are put into place. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that we could have church on Saturday? Would that be okay? I would have no problem with that. Why do we have church on Sunday? Because that's the accepted day of worship for the local church. And has been for thousands of years. And you know what? Who am I to mess with that? Okay? Wednesday night? For it. Do I like the idea? Remembering the crucifixion? Remembering the resurrection? Absolutely, I love it. I think it's great. Again, it's not so much about what day or the letter of law, etc. It's about the spirit of it. You know, we can have church on Sundays and Wednesdays. We can have church on Saturdays and Tuesdays. Okay, fine. We could be like the early church and have church every day. But you know what? Even people that come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays can make the mistake and not follow the commandment. Because we have a Martha mentality and not a Mary mentality. Oh yes, there's work to be done. I understand that. But the trifles that I call, that some may call work, I don't call work, etc. It's about my motive. And every Sunday, should I say this? I'm not here to please you. I'm here to worship God. I'm here to please Him. And if you're helped by it, great. If it's a blessing to you, great. But I don't mind telling you, and I don't mind telling you, I'm not doing it for y'all. What are you here for? Because see, you could be here, and if it's not for worshiping God, then guess what? You just blew commandment number 4. This is the essence of what these commandments are all about. God intended us to be consistent in our worship for God. He intended for us to be mindful of these things and have the right motive. Are we worshiping God as we should? Are we giving God the glory, the honor, the praise, if you will, His due, with a regular time of worship where it is about Him and not about us? Are we spending time thinking of the crucified and risen Christ? Are we spending time attending the preaching services not to be helped, but to be a help? Why do you want to be a better Christian? For you and for your benefit, or for Him and His benefit? Are we giving this day to the Lord? Are we giving of our tithes to the Lord and our offerings to the Lord? Are we obeying the commandment in spirit, not just in the letter of the law? These are things we need to think about. God expects us to be consistent in our worship. God expects us to have a day of rest. God expects us to focus on Him. How are we doing in these areas? What are we doing concerning these things? We need to make sure that we're following this commandment. Now, there are a few other things that you can study through as far as church history is concerned. I'm being more than happy to help you go through that study. But listen to me. There's more to search out, but I've covered the bases on this. This is why we hold services Sunday and Wednesday. And you know what? It's because we're trying to keep the commandment and making sure God has a day to be worshiped. And you know what? It's okay that He has a little more. Just consider it offerings. We're paying our tithe and we're giving the offerings. But God deserves our time. And let me, oh, by the way, I did neglect to mention, there's this little verse in the scriptures that says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I remember as a young Christian, well, I was a Christian for a long time. I should say a young Baptist, let's just say, young preacher boy. I used to enjoy going to church so much. Well, I still do. That I asked preacher, I said, preacher, why can't we have church every day? Have you ever had that thought? I hope so. Because if you have, you're well on your way to being successful in keeping commandment number four. Because that's your heart. That's your attitude. And if you ever get to the point where you're loathing church, oh, we have to go to church again. Why is our church so busy? That pastor, he just makes up all these things in a church calendar. It's ridiculous. Now, folks, look at an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve God. It's an opportunity to worship God. It's an opportunity to give God more than He asked for. And you know what? That's a good thing. Do you want to be here? Do you want this to be a day? Listen, you need a day of rest. You say, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. That's what God wants.